This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for July 11th, 2006. I'm Jen Rourke. Coming up, putting a price tag on urban trees. And your AM 580 forecast. But first, a look at today's news. The mayor of Urbana says the city should have a voice at the Illinois Commerce Commission as it considers RWE's spinoff of American Water. The Urbana City Council endorsed the concept of intervening in the case at its Committee of the Whole meeting last night. Mayor Laurel Prussing says the move would make the city a formal party to the proceedings before the ICC and provide a chance to voice concerns about water service and rates.
We're trying to influence what happens because we found that when these companies change ownership, you know, it has a big effect on the ratepayers. It could have a tremendous effect on the ratepayers. And if we're not represented as interveners, then we have no say in that.
Prussing says the quality and cost of Illinois Americans' water service has gotten worse with every change of ownership, and she doesn't think the spinoff of American Water by German conglomerate RWE will be an exception. The city of Champaign has already moved to intervene in the American Water case before the ICC. In Champaign's case, no city council vote was taken. Assistant City Manager Paul Berg says the move allows the city to closely monitor the case. The Urbana City Council got its first look last night at a proposal to set up a citizen police review board to hear complaints against the Urbana Police Department. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
The draft ordinance would set up a 7-member panel to act as a sort of appellate court, in Mayor Laurel Prussing's words, when someone with a complaint about police conduct is unable to resolve the issue with the department. If the review board and the Urbana police chief disagree in a case, it would go to the mayor and chief administrative officer for a final decision. Urbana police chief Mike Beely says such citizen review boards have proven valuable in other cities.
It improves the trust of the citizens in their police department. It makes it more transparent when complaints are brought forward. It gives the police department feedback that they wouldn't normally get.
But Beely notes the Urbana Fraternal Order of Police has made the proposal an issue in contract talks now in progress, and law enforcement members on the task force that formulated the proposal want one of the review board seats reserved for a retired police officer or someone else with a law enforcement background. Mayor Prussing says hearings and public forums on the proposed Citizen Police Review Board will be scheduled later this year. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
For the first time in nearly 3 weeks, Danville teachers and school district negotiators are meeting at the bargaining table. Yesterday's talks also marked the first since the Danville Education Association's 2-year contract expired June 30th. District 118 Associate Superintendent Mark Denman says the old contract remains enforced until a new one is approved. But he says the two sides are not at a desperate point.
You know, the contract did expire June 30th, but you know, it's not unheard of. It's fairly common for that to happen. We're just continuing to meet in good faith to work out an equitable contract for both sides.
Denman says the district and union are making progress, but salary, benefits, and other economic issues remain sticking points. Negotiations began in April. The Danville Education Association represents nearly 800 teachers and support staff. The University of Illinois hopes a vote this week will produce 3 new wind turbines on the South Farms within the next couple of years. The University Board of Trustees is expected to approve the architect and engineer of a $5.7 million project for the construction of the 300-foot structures. Once completed, the turbines will generate about 3% of the university's energy needs. U of I Sustainability Coordinator Matt Moulton says the turbines won't just supply energy. He says the structures could provide an educational experience for students and manufacturers.
This would give us the opportunity to allow people throughout the state to come and look and see how these work, how they may impact operations on land, whether it's an agricultural setting or small manufacturing area, how these can coexist.
The board will vote on the approval of a firm this week, which Moulton said should speed up the project. He says an increasing demand for wind energy has kept turbine manufacturers busy and could delay completion of the project. Rod Blagojevich says he'll make sure veterans can get health care. Judy Bartopinka says she'll make sure soldiers returning from war have a fair chance for employment. As Amanda Vinicky reports, Illinois' gubernatorial candidates are battling over who uses their position to best care for veterans.
Veterans applying for state jobs are supposed to be given preference, but recent reports allege Governor Rod Blagojevich circumvented that law, including hiring a politically connected applicant as a paid intern. In light of that, Republican gubernatorial nominee Judy Bartopinka introduced a set of proposals.
So that we can ensure that no future governor plays politics with our veterans the way that Rod Blagojevich's administration has.
Topinka says state agencies should have to certify that veterans' preference laws were followed before making a hire. She also wants a panel that could act as a sort of appeals court, determining if the state had good reason to turn down a veteran. Blagojevich not only denies the allegations of illegal hiring, he says it's Topinka who's not looking out for veterans. He criticizes Topinka for not supporting his program to expand veterans' health care. She says the state can't afford it. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jen Rourke. Money might not grow on trees, but researchers at a think tank devoted to saving America's forests say dollar signs can be attached to all those oaks, maples, and sycamores. They're hoping their environmental calculus can help convince local governments that it's in their best interest to protect the trees they still have and to plant new ones. Sarah Hewlett reports.
If trees could unionize, they'd be able to put together a pretty compelling case for hefty compensation packages from the cities where they work. That's the general idea behind a series of reports put together by the advocacy group American Forests. The organization looked at the amount of tree-covered land in several U.S. cities, and for each city, it put together a dollars and cents case for their protection. Trees in Detroit got a recent appraisal from the group. Trees shade more than 31% of the city. Besides helping to keep the city cool, the report says Detroit's trees take out 2 million pounds of pollution from the air every year. That's worth about $5 million. And it said if the city's trees were gone, the city would have to build $400 million worth of stormwater drains. That's because trees act as buffers during heavy rains and help control flooding. Cheryl Collin is the director of urban forestry at American Forests. She says the bottom line for politicians and city planners is money. She says they're not going to save trees just because they're nice to look at.
And I think it's really building that awareness that trees are as wonderful and beautiful as they are for their aesthetic qualities. It's so important to connect the ecological properties that they have and the economic benefits that they provide, because it really is going to be that economic argument that makes decision makers do things differently.
Like a lot of cities, Detroit relies on a nonprofit group to raise money for urban reforesting. Today, the Greening of Detroit is planting trees around a recreation center in one of the most polluted areas of the city, where diesel soot from heavy truck traffic contributes to a high asthma rate. Rebecca Salmonen-Witt is the director of the Greening. She says this is a critical time for this struggling Rust Belt city.
We want to see some development in Detroit. We want to prove to outsiders that good things are happening here in a really visual way. Any development is good development, right? And, you know, that's just simply not true.
Witt says as the city seeks to rebound, the focus can't just be on new buildings. She says it's important that planners and developers figure trees and green space into Detroit's future. And she says the American Forest's economic data and satellite images will help her make that case.
You know, having those statistics and having that visual representation of this is what it looks, you know, here's your heat island effect with trees and without trees.
That visual picture of tree loss proved especially powerful in the nation's capital. American Forests surveyed Washington, D.C.'s trees in 1999. Its report said the city lost nearly two-thirds of its tree cover between 1985 and 1997. The Washington Post published the before-and-after satellite photos. They showed huge swaths of black, gobbling up what a dozen years earlier looked green from far above the earth. It looked like a cancer had wiped out the healthy parts of the city, whose slogan is the City of Trees.
You know, that got the attention of variety of people. One person in particular was Betty Casey.
That's Dan Smith of the Casey Tree Endowment Fund. The group was established thanks to a $50 million contribution from Betty Casey, the widow of developer Eugene B. Casey.
And I believe that this contribution was, if not the largest gift ever for environmental action, certainly one of the largest.
That sort of cash gift is a dream for most cities. But the Greening of Detroit's Rebecca Salmon and Witt says she does expect to be able to use the information from American Forests to raise money. And she says it will also help her small organization figure out which parts of the city are most in need of trees.
We have to decide where we're going to allocate our resources. And having a tool that makes allocation of resources in an area where there is a great need easier or make more sense is really important to a nonprofit organization.
Witt says her first pitch will be to the corporations and civic leaders planning a redevelopment along Detroit's riverfront. Witt says the plans she's seen call for some trees and green space, but armed with satellite pictures and economic data, she hopes she'll be able to make the case for a few more trees. For the GLRC, I'm Sarah Hewlett.
And now your WILL AM 580 forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, mostly cloudy with periods of rain and thunderstorms. Heavy rainfall is possible. The high 81. Winds southeasterly to southerly at 8 to 16 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy with occasional rain and thunderstorms. The low around 70. Winds southerly to southwesterly at 6 to 12 miles per hour. Tomorrow, intervals of clouds and sunshine with a few showers and thunderstorms. The high 84. Winds southwesterly to westerly at 5 to 10 miles per hour. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for July 11th, 2006. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Jen Rourke, AM 580 News.